Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Well, this week we are going to continue in our wisdom series, and I hope that you've enjoyed walking through the book of Proverbs. I hope that you've encountered some things that you have to wrestle with as we've been reading through one day at a time. Today is the 23rd, so as a church, we're reading the 23rd Proverb. And I hope you've been challenged a little bit, been encouraged a little bit, most of all that your faith has been stirred more than it was before that. This series, we've been looking at this idea of wisdom. What is wisdom? And we've said our working definition for this series is that wisdom is right thinking that produces right action. It's the harmony of both. If I just have right thinking but don't have right action, that's not wisdom. But it's having this right godly thinking that leads me to right or godly action. And when those two are in harmony, when those two things meet, that is where we find wisdom. And so the last few weeks, we've been tackling different proverbs that Solomon wrote that give us just these little nuggets of truth. And so last week, we talked about integrity, which is being a man or a woman or an entity, a company, whatever, that is undivided. We talk about integrity is having wholeness. So my motivations, my words, my actions, they align. That would be somebody who walks and integrity. And so today, I want to talk about something that probably none of you struggle with, guaranteed. Today, I want to talk about anger. And if you're angry that I just said we're going to talk about anger, we have a prayer time for you after the service. No, we're going to talk about anger today. And here's the reality. There was a season in my life where I would talk to some older men, and we would meet, and they would just talk about how angry they would be. I'm like, man, why are they so angry? Like, why is this? Like, I'm not an angry person. And then I had kids, and I realized there is some deep-seated anger in me. And so today, I want to talk about what is anger, and what does Solomon, what does the scriptures, what did Jesus teach us about anger? If we're going to live a life of wisdom, if we're going to have right thinking that leads to right actions, what we see throughout Proverbs of many times, it talks about anger. And what's interesting about anger is this. Let me give you the first the definition of anger. Anger is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. It's an instinctive reaction to being hurt or threatened. Now what's interesting about anger is we often think about anger as a negative or a wrong thing, but there are hundreds of examples of God being angry in the scriptures. And how many of you know God never has sinned? It's beyond his nature to be able to sin, and yet he was angry. And so sometimes anger can be a good thing because God is angry. This is what it says in Psalm 103:8. It says, "The Lord is merciful, he's gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." Love, God can be slow to anger and loving at the same time. He doesn't contradict himself. It's a very interesting thought that even God can be angry. And so listen, God isn't surprised by your anger. You didn't catch him off guard when you got angry on the drive here. Listen, I know what it's like to get here on Sunday mornings. Some of the most angry moments of my life is trying to get the kids in herding cats into the van to get here on Sunday. My wife was probably early. I was probably the one getting my hair ready. And so there was just anger everywhere, right? I get that. And maybe today you're sitting in a seat between you and your spouse because you just had a ride over here that was from hell. I get that. But God isn't surprised by your anger. But here's the thing I want you to know. That doesn't mean that he's pleased with your anger. God is not surprised by our anger, but that doesn't mean that we honor him and that we please him with our anger. This is how James writes it. In the New Testament, James was writing a letter to some Jews, some believers that had been spread out because of persecution. They had kind of literally scattered about, and he's writing a message to these believers. And in James 1, 19-20, one of my favorite verses when I'm walking through premarital counseling or talking to married couples, this is what he says. If you are a believer, this is to you. He says, "Know this, my beloved brother." So followers of Jesus, fellow Christians, listen to this. This is what James says this morning. "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Man, just think about how that could preach in our own marriages. If we were slow to speak, man, just think about how much better the world would be if we were slow to speak. Just think about politicians. If they were slow to go to Twitter, how much better would our life be? If you as a spouse, that your first objectives would be to hear before you speak, how much more enjoyable would our relationships be? And he says, be slow to anger. Now, what's interesting about James is he echoes what Solomon said all the way back in Proverbs. If you have your Bible and you're not in the dark, go ahead and open up to Proverbs chapter 14. If not, just trust me, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. So eerily similar what Solomon is going to drop on us on wisdom today. This is what he says in chapter 14, verse 29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is hasty to temper exalts folly. Do you see the dichotomy of what he's setting up here? He's saying, listen, if you're slow to anger, you're walking in wisdom. But the opposite's true. If you're quick to anger, if you're hastily go to that, you're walking in foolishness. This is what Solomon sets up today. If we want to be people of wisdom, we should be people that are slow to anger and not quick to anger. It's the difference between somebody who's wise and somebody who is foolish. But as I said earlier, anger is not always bad. God is angry at some time, not all the time, but he is angry at some times. And so I want us to consider there's two origins of anger, okay? And so if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The first origin of anger is righteous anger or godlike anger. So this anger is when I'm angry at the same things that God is angry at. That is righteous, that is good anger that actually aligns with God. Righteous, godlike anger. And in the scriptures, when you see this anger of God, most often what you see is you see him angry at something that is taking his people away from his path. He's angry that somebody has come against them and disobeyed and pulled them away with a lie or with selling something other than what he has for them. And he gets angry primarily at sin and the effects of sin. And so righteous anger is rooted in this hatred of evil. This is God. And in your notes, I want you to write this down, that righteous anger is rooted in love. Righteous anger is rooted in love. So God, he hates sin. He hates evil so much. By the way, you and I should hate sin and hate evil just as much as God does. First, our own sin and our own evil in our own lives. We should hate that. David hated his sin. He hated it. He gave grace to other people time and time again, but he hated his own sin. And he put it to death time and time again. So God, he says here, in righteous anger, it's rooted in love. And so he hates sin because it keeps us from knowing a life that is fulfilled in him. That's what sin does. It's robbing you of all that God has for you. That's what sin does. So he says, I hate sin. And what is his anger? It's rooted in love. And so what did he do because of sin? He sent his only son. What is that? That's love. He sent his only son because he loves us. See, it began with love, righteous anger. It begins in love, but it doesn't just begin in love. It actually ends in love. He died for you and me. Jesus died for you and me. The ultimate expression of love. See, righteous anger, it actually doesn't begin with anger. It doesn't end with anger. It actually begins with love and ends with love. Righteous anger is anger that aligns with God's anger. So that's the first origin. And if that's the case of your anger, then I would say you're in good company because God is also angry at evil in the world. He's evil at sin. And some examples of that would be, we should be really angry when people are oppressed because of race, because of religion, because of economic status, because of their age. We should be downright angry when people are being robbed from what God has for them. We should be angry. That's righteous anger. We should have that in us. And it should point us to love, though. But the second origin of anger, which I think most of us, if we're just being honest today, struggle with, is what I call man's anger. That verse in James 1:20, it says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Here is what man's anger is rooted in, if you're taking notes. Man's anger is rooted in offense. Offense. They did this to me. They didn't stop and merge. Like, they merged right in front of me. They did that to me. Can you believe that? Y'all should try to live in Houston, Texas sometime. It's amazing. It really blesses me when I'm driving on the highway and I see people stop instead of merging. It's amazing. Like, in Houston, they would just run you over. It's a gift here in Kingsport. But man's anger is rooted in offense. It's all about me. I was offended. You said this, or you didn't say this to me. And that kind of anger is not pleasing to God. It does not align with God. It's an anger that actually takes us further away from God. It consumes us with ourselves. It's not honoring to God, and it doesn't please him. Now, I was thinking about, you know, times where I've experienced that, because honestly, most of us in this room, I would say every one of us, have experienced either we've had somebody angry at us or we've been angry, and probably both of those are true for all of us. But I was in college, and I was in my second year of college, and we lived in this pretty large house, and we had like 10 guys stuffed into this house. My rent was $225. You know, when you're college, you're like, whatever, I'll sleep with three other guys in the same room, whatever. I just need it to be cheap. And so I was living there, and I had this big 3/4-ton Dodge Cummins, full bed, beautiful, silver, you know, it was a beautiful truck. I don't miss it or anything, but I now drive a silver minivan and a Honda Accord, so I have been demoted in the world, but I had this big truck, and so we had this parking lot behind us, and behind that parking lot was this one-lane road. It was really like an alley, but people used it going both ways, and so one morning, I'm headed to class, and I'm back out, my five-speed, and driving down, and there's a car in front of me before we get to the major intersection in the alley, and that car goes, and so I just pull up. I just kind of creep up a little bit and pull up, and I didn't realize a car was coming in, and so that car kind of gets in the middle of the lane, and he begins to hang out the window and just screaming at me and telling me to go to heaven with you-know-what finger. And so I'm like, what in the world? And so he's just irate and belligerent. And so I put it in reverse. I back up, and he kind of whips in there and beside me and rolls his window down. He begins to just light me up. I mean, just cussing up and down, telling me, you know, my mama hates me or whatever, just like terrible stuff. And as a young man, you know, we should just learn to let things go, right? Well, he finally got rid of his little tirade, and he goes and goes. And so I had a moment of decision. Was I just going to let that go, or was I not going to let that go? So I put my truck in reverse, and I followed this joker. And that one-lane road, it ends in a parking lot. And so I watched him, and he pulled into a parking lot. But unfortunately for him, there was an open spot right beside him. And so he pulls in this parking lot, and before he can even get out, I'm already parked beside him. And I'm not saying like park beside him. I'm literally 4 inches from his car and my big diesel. And so he looks up and his eyes are this big. He tries to open his door and he hits the side of my truck because he literally has that much room to open his door. And his eyes are this big and he's like, what did I just get myself into? And I'm like, General, I'm going to teach this guy a lesson. Like, watch out. Like, I'm going to, you're done. You're done, son. You're done. I don't know if I should have just made that gesture in church, but I was going to take care of this guy, right? And so he finally rolls down his window, and he's yelling at me, screaming at me, and just by the grace of God, this is what I said. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were turning there, sir. I'm sorry. I apologize. And he said, you better be sorry. And what I didn't tell you is that parking lot was actually a parking lot of a church. And so at this time, I said, what are you doing here? He said, I work here. I said, oh, really? You work at a church? That's great. That's great representation of Christ. That's really good. And so in that moment, I just wanted to punch the guy and take him out. But in that moment, just by the grace of God, I said, what do you think Jesus would have done back there? And he got real quiet. And I fired up my truck and left, right? Now what kind of anger was he expressing? Man's anger. He was so offended that how dare somebody pull out and take his turn to pull in the street. He was offended. That kind of anger does not please God. It is not acceptable to him, and it brings destruction in our life. So my question for you today is, where is your anger originating from? Is it righteous or is it unrighteous? Is it of God or is it not of God? Because it's not a minor miss. It's not a minor miss where we our anger originates from. And so the other thing that I want us to talk about, last week we talked about the cost of integrity gaps. Like, what does it cost us if I don't have integrity? Well, here's the question today. What does our anger cost us? Not righteous anger, but a man's anger. What does it cost us? And there's three things, if you're taking notes and you can see, to write this down. Number one, it costs us poor decision-making. How many of you ever been in a situation where you are so angry and you make terrible decisions, right? Have you ever been there? I have. How many? How about you're disciplining your kids and you're so angry and you say, you will never eat again. That's not true. But when you're angry, you make poor decisions. You say things that you would never say when you're angry, right? We do this all the time. And so when we are operating with man's anger in that moment, we make really, really poor decisions that can cost us dearly in our job, in our home, with our relationship with our kids, in our community. Anger sets us up to make really bad decisions. And I want to just put before you a really practical thing to remember. You'll see the letters H-A-L-T in your notes, and this is what those stand for. You should never make a decision if you're operating in one of these four things. If you're hungry, if you are angry, if you are lonely, or if you are tired. I mean, that'll preach. And you parents, listen, you should have a talk with your kids, especially if you have teenagers. Never, never, never make an important decision when you're hungry. Don't go to the store when you're hungry. You know what you come back with. Don't do something when you're angry. Don't do something when you're lonely. And don't do something when you're tired. Listen, for you singles in the room, it's a terrible decision time to figure out what is purity, what are your physical boundaries when it's late at night, you're tired, you're feeling a little lonely, you're feeling bad about yourself, and you're with somebody of the opposite sex. Terrible time to make a decision. It's a terrible time to get on the internet when you're feeling bad about yourself and you're feeling lonely and you're angry at somebody didn't say something or the girl didn't say yes to you and you're getting tired. It's a terrible time to hope that you stay pure in what you look at on the internet in that moment. Terrible time. Anger, it costs us ability to make good decisions. The second thing that anger does, it costs us a health risk. This is what one doctor says. He says, in the 2 hours after an angry outburst, the chance of having a heart attack doubles. You heard me? 2 hours after an angry outburst, your chances of having a heart attack doubles. Or if maybe you're a silent killer, like some of us in here, repressed anger. It's when we express anger indirectly and go to great lengths to destroy, to control it, it's actually associated with heart disease. You believe that? Last one here, last note. One study found that you are 3 times higher risk of having a stroke from a blood clot to the brain or bleeding with the brain within 2 hours of an angry outburst. And so just practical wisdom today, church, listen, practical wisdom, whether you're following Jesus or not this morning, your anger is gonna cost you your health. It's gonna position your body to not be able to control all the things that are happening. Your anger will actually lead you to poor health. And the last thing that many of us recognize and have experienced is that the cost of anger is damaged relationships. Proverbs 29:22 says, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgressions. How many of you know it's really hard to be close to somebody that's angry all the time? And why is that? Because when we're around somebody that's angry all the time, there's a fear that's born. There's insecurity that's born. There's frustration that's born. And all of that pulls us away and promotes isolation from another person. And so we need to recognize, whether I'm a parent or whether I'm a friend or whether I'm a spouse, that our anger, it damages, it degrades, it undermines our relationships, and it sets us up for failure. These are just some of the costs of our anger that's not of God, but of man. And so what do we do? So that's the question. We're talking about wisdom in this series. What is the wise response to our anger? What do we do with it? If we want to be followers of Jesus that adhere to his word, obey him, yet still recognize we have sin in our life that is not pleasing to him and is undermining the life that he's given, what do we do? Here's 4 things that I want you to write down, if you can, that I want you to remember and reflect on this week on when you get angry. Number 1, pause. Push the pause button. When I was in corporate America and we were training people up on soft skills and teaching plant managers and executives how to deal with people that are difficult, because how many of you know people are difficult? We all raised two hands and said, yes, amen, hallelujah, we get that. Well, guess what? You're a person. You can be difficult too. So how do we deal with that in the moment? The best, just practical advice is push the pause button. And what do I mean by that? Take 10 seconds and walk away from the situation. How many of you have had that testosterone, or that maybe estrogen does that too, I don't know, raise up in your body, and you get so angry and you say something, you do something that just is not what you'd want to portray to somebody else? What if that next time you felt that anger rise up in you, push the pause button? Take a step back at work, in your marriage, take a walk around the block, come back. I guarantee you, this is what it will do if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. It'll position you to respond with God-like character. See, in the moment, everything's flying around. Testosterone's flying, adrenaline's flying, flight or fight. But what if we push pause and position ourselves to respond with God-like character, to see what God would do? The second thing that we can do that we never want to undermine is that if you are dealing with anger today, which I guarantee many of us are in this room, if you have an angry issue, the place we need to start is at the cross. When's the last time that you confessed your anger to God? When's the last time that you asked him to forgive you? When's the last time you asked him to empower you to be a peacemaker, not a peace destroyer? See, we get before God. That's the hope that we have. That's why this cross is lit up over here. We believe in the power of the cross and of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so if we are followers of Jesus Christ, the first place we should begin to deal with this anger that leads to destruction in our life is saying, God, you've already died for this. Empower me to live as a person of peace, as a person who has God-like character. And so we pray. The third thing that I think we should do is consider a perspective shift. Perspective shift. Now, what do I mean by that? We could talk about this a long time, but what if we didn't just look at our anger as an obstacle? What if we looked at it as an opportunity? Now just hang with me here. Many of us that struggle with anger or have spouses that struggle with anger, hopefully you haven't nudged them, by the way, yet today. We see our anger as an obstacle, as something that's terrible. But what if we shifted our perspective and said, it's actually an opportunity to do what, Derek? An opportunity to express your faith in God. See, that requires no faith to do something that's not a struggle, or that doesn't require me to trust in something I don't see. But when rage fires up in me, when anger rises up in me, that's not of God. What if I recognize that moment as I have an opportunity in front of me to express my faith in God instead of giving into my flesh? And what pleases God, right? We know faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know that. And so what if in your life, in your marriage, in your relationship with the kids, when everything rises up and you just want to climb in the back seat and just, what if you saw that as an opportunity to express your trust in God and you had a conversation with him before you responded in that moment? I think it would change the way that you express your anger. And then the fourth thing is probably the most practical, and that's, if you're sitting here today and you've tried everything and you're there and you're still just an angry person, and your anger and you see the cost of it all around you, the fourth thing that I would say is you need to get some help. Listen, there is no shame in raising the white flag to say, I need some professional help. I need some help with some counselors. And maybe it's the best thing that you could do in your life, that today could be the day that it begins to end in your life, because you said, you know what? I recognize I have some anger in my life and I don't want it to destroy. I don't want it to cost my marriage. I don't want it to cost my relationship with my kids. I don't want it to lose a job over this. And so I'm just going to raise my hand up and I'm going to reach out and I'm going to get some help. And if you don't know where to go, our staff would love to connect you with some Jesus-loving counselors that can point you in the right direction. Here's the flip side of this. Listen, you need to hear me. This is near and dear to my heart. With every person that is angry, there's also somebody who's the recipient of anger. I'm not naive enough to think that somebody in this room is, right now, you're being physically abused. I guarantee somebody in this room is being physically abused. Listen, it's not right. It's not your fault. It's not right. You also, I want to encourage you as your pastor, you need to raise your hand and get some help. God loves marriage. He loves it so much. He defends it. He wants your marriage to work out. That doesn't mean that you might need to separate yourself from that relationship for a season to see if God wants to bring some restoration there to protect yourself. And so listen, if you're the recipient of anger and you're just taking it, and I'm talking about across the line of just regular anger, I want to encourage you, you reach out to somebody in our staff and you say, well, I just need some help. I feel so much shame. I feel like it's my fault. It's not your fault. God is for you and he wants to protect you. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And the last thing I want you to consider today is this truth. And we just sang about it earlier. We sang that we are no longer slaves, right? And you fill in the blank. That song says we're no longer slaves to fear. We're child of God. But I guarantee you, this is what you can do. I'm no longer a slave to anger. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to pornography. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to gossip. I am a child of God. Listen, Jesus took on the anger of God to release you from your anger. He took on the anger of God on the cross. The wrath of God, the anger of God towards sin was laid upon Jesus, every single ounce on it. He took it because he loves you. And as he took it, he says that he was buried and on the third day he raised with victory over what? Over sin and death. And anger is sin. Listen, this cross, it reminds us today that we're no longer slaves. And if you've been given in and you feel so hopeless, there is hope because he's already paid the price on the cross. He's already changed your identity. He's changed your future. You may be living like a slave, but I guarantee you, your identity is not slave. He's already broken the chains. So what if today is the first time that you begin to step out and live out that freedom that he's given us? We're going to sing this song again, No Longer Slaves to Fear. We are children of God. And here's what I want to do. I just want you to have a conversation with God. If you want to stay seated or if you want to stand with the rest of us, you can do so. If you want to come down forward and you want to pray, there's just some freedom in the room to respond to whatever God is stirring up in you. And today, if you specifically struggle with anger and you know it because you know who you are, I pray that you would have the humility to ask God and to confess to God and ask him to forgive you and empower you to be what he's already called you, free, a child, sinless.